RTI.
Well, welcome back to Postcard from Pop Rad Part 2, boys and girls. Trust you well on the April Fool's weekend. Oh, I just love this next story.
And this is the old Fool's programme.
This next story, we will elaborate on a little bit, which we wouldn't normally do, but it's just for Lee.
Which one?
The headline story is, "Oi, mate, get the fuck out of here, shift your butt."
Do you know what feckless means in Irish?
No.
A virgin.
Well, I suppose this programme is verging on the ridiculous. now, apparently, according to Debrett, there's a right and proper way to behave behind the wheel.
There is. Yes. There certainly is. And I'll tell you what, I think my road rage is absolutely quintessentially masculine and devastatingly attractive.
Right. So, apparently, from being a good car host to protocol regarding music choice.
Yeah, right. It's your car, isn't it, mate? It's your car.
Now, there's this new book called Thoroughly Modern Motoring Manners has come out from Debrett's, which Debrett's is sort of colloquially known as the modern authority on matters of etiquette, social occasions, people of distinction, and fine
How did
style.
You know that, that's what that word said.
Which one?
The one that's spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E, and you knew what it meant.
Yes. You do, don't you, boys and girls? You do. Anyway, apparently, according to Debrett, it's important to mind your manners when you're behind
it's
the wheel.
Debrett, actually.
It's what?
Debrett, actually.
Thank you. It's English word, B-R-E-T-T.
B-R-E-T-T.
Debrett.
Debrett. Yes, but it's pronounced with a Spanish omelette. Debrett.
Right.
Will you just get on with this story?
Thank you. So anyway, this is the blurb about the book, right, which is coming out, or has come out now. It's a 47-page book, published by Debrett, and available from the Debrett website, or Amazon and other places like that. It starts. Ready, boys and girls? This is
fun. Yeah, we're ready.
Right, you ready?
Yeah.
This is for Lee.
This is for me.
Yes. A section in the book is about chivalry.
You should always take a shovel with you in case you get stuck in snow.
Right. A chivalrous man will ensure that his female passenger is comfortable before the journey begins. Oi, you! Have you been to the toilet? I'm not stopping at the first services.
That's just being common. You're showing your council house background now.
The chivalrous man should offer to take the lady's coat, check her...
Clothes! Should take her clothes!
coat. Check that her seat is adjusted and be sure the temperature is to her liking.
Yeah, start filling under a seat after you've nicked all the clothes. I agree with you 100%. Right.
She will expect her man to be calm and competent as a driver.
Hey.
No wonder Andrew's so nervous. Any signs of aggression, and she will most likely assume that in life, as well as behind the wheel, he is volatile and impatient.
Well, I agree with you up to a point on that, but my problem is with this thing, right, every man, when they get behind the wheel of a car, thinks they've become a Rambo maniac hero, and all this flicking of V's and pulling faces at you and swearing at you through inside your little tin box doesn't make you a hero, because I tell you what I do, I always, without missing a beat, I get out of the car. And you know what they do? They wind the windows up, lock the doors and try and escape.
Well, you are about 65 metres tall, for goodness sake. and apparently a chivalrous passenger is also well-behaved and polite in the car. Oh. And he or she is good when she's out and about. He realises the jokes about women drivers are clichés. And he's never a backseat driver. He's happy to sit back and enjoy the ride.
I am always a backseat driver.
This was written by a woman, wasn't it?
Even when I'm driving, I'm in the back seat driving as well.
This has got to have been written by a woman.
I think this is a load of old...
Rollocks.
Yeah. Don't be rude. You said the T word on last week's show, and you know all the trouble we got in over that.
Rollocks. They're bits that are on boats. You put your oars
right,
in.
Oh, right, that you put the oars in.
That's the one. Now, apparently, on in-car entertainment, music should be carefully chosen and kept at a suitable volume. I agree.
I do too. Born to be mild.
Nice and loud so the doors are rattling.
Turn your windows down as you move into the town and go really slow so you have to stop at the lights.
Now, apparently, you're supposed to save contentious remarks and heated discussions for non-mobile situations.
That's right. Do you know what you should do? Right. You know when people fall asleep?
What?
Next to you.
Yes.
It says here, sometimes your passengers will want to doze or daydream. Always respect their wishes. Well, you know what I do if somebody falls asleep in the car next to me?
Oh, you wake up!
No, I don't. I'd sit there patiently, right, until the moment they're about to wake up. And as they just open their eyes and look at you as the driver, I go... Yeah. God, they wake up then.
Now, apparently, if you're the guest in the car, there's also some rules for you doing that as well.
Yeah, of course there is.
Yeah, because the driver is in control of the car.
Absolutely.
Note, ladies, that our backseat drivers turn there. Don't do too fast. It's too hot in here. Slow down. There's a corner coming. Slow down. The driver is in control of the car.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that
don't
extends
say anything,
to...
Don't touch anything.
That's
don't
right.
Change anything.
And that extends to the controls of the radio. Because we know what is good to keep us driving properly, don't we, Lee?
Yeah. Born to be mild.
Down.
Miles an hour.
Don't touch anything or adjust anything without asking first. Good.
Yep.
As a passenger, you don't have to concentrate on the road. Well, of course you do.
No, I don't think this was written by a woman. I think this was written by a sensible man.
Right. Of course the passenger's supposed to look where we're going so they can help us out with the driving. You need to turn left here, dear. Of course you're supposed to look...
Oh, yeah, that sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Now, a passenger should engage in conversation, but quietly, especially during tricky manoeuvres and challenging situations.
It's and like don't use big words if you're with Eric. Like,
and don't forget, fragrance is important because...
Fragrance is definitely important in the car.
Because it's a confined space.
So
think twice before spraying too much aftershave. Do you spray aftershave, Lee?
I wear a lot of aftershave, yes.
Yeah.
Not because I'm smelly, because I like to smell nice. And in a car, you always can say, it's the fan belt burning.
I'm terrible. I've never done aftershave. Can't see the point.
Yeah.
No, and the other thing, boys, if you're in the car, remember if she's in the car, she who must be obeyed.
Yeah.
Don't go in the car because it's a confined space. Oh, my throat, ouch.
That's terrible. Yeah, you just did a pump joke on the air now, on top of your T word last week.
Yes.
And on top of what we've got coming up next.
Yes. Now...
You've got no shame and no dignity.
This is true.
Let's move on to the next one because I think it's really funny. Yeah. Now go on, we'll do them being ladylike.
Right. So you've got to be ladylike.
I can do this. No, I can, honestly. I'm really good at it.
Smooth down your skirt, keeping your knees together, swivel your body, and swing your legs outwards.
Uh-huh.
Place one foot down, keeping your knees together, dip your head and shoulders forward, and slide and glide out of the car.
Do you know what the Italian is for keeping your knees together?
Go on.
This was advice given to my first wife,
yes,
who was Italian. And her mother said to her, always remember, because she spoke like that because she was Italian, always remember that if you don't want to fill this world with little bambinos, keep both feet in one shoe.
And
she did.
Especially for Lee, the final entry. It's good manners to remove your hat in the car, just as you would when entering a building.
Unless you're wearing two hats.
Two hats, yes. Now, I am not going to claim this one, but it's fabulous. And we're going to have to be so careful with this one. The headline reads, "Give me an effing beer."
Yeah.
Now,
well, that's right.
FCC
yeah.
can tape that again in the US. I said effing. There's no other letters in the middle of it, and it has no resemblance to a well-known track which starts off with Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo.
Absolutely. And my take on it is that I will only say kin.
Right. Akin to it.
Yeah. My phone's ringing. Can you hear it?
No, but it's
missing. Can you have a look who it is?
Go on.
Eck. Oh, bloody heck. Oh, heck. Oh, no. I've just left the house.
What are you doing?
It's an 0800 number. It's a call centre on me mobile.
Oh, I don't believe it. Anyway, apparently, a brewery now has the right to release a beer called F blah after winning a battle with the European Patent Office. Are you still on the phone?
No, I'm not on the phone at all.
You sound all distorted and horrible.
Oh, it's because my headphones had come out again. I was trying to do it secretly so you wouldn't... Now my other phone's ringing! Hang on, just a minute.
Don't say the F word! He does that, boys and girls.
I don't say the F word at all.
You do when the call centres call you. Apparently, Stefan Fellenberg had initially been told by the European Patent Office that his brewery could not use the name for a beer for the beer as it was offensive. You see, this is how it gets all screwed up going into different languages, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
But after 3 years of legal wranglings, it appears that he's managed to convince everybody that the purpose of the F Hell Brew is actually being named after a village in Austria. And
a 6th century village, so it's got a bit of history attached to it and every right to exist.
Right. So this beer's going to go... I can't wait to see the TV adverts for it.
Yeah. How are you going to make a sort of image of the name?
I don't know. But you've got to sort your microphone out. It sounds rotten.
Oh, I'll sort my microphone now.
Just plug it, unplug it and plug it in again.
Oh, it wasn't stuck in properly. It's because everything fell apart. Somebody's just come in to tell me something. I don't understand why.
Oh, neither do I. Apparently, the said village in Austria, which was founded in 1070, it was named after a man...
Why does it say it's a 6th century village, then?
Well, because it was named after Mr. Focko. F-O-C-K-O. Oh, this is so hard. Now, apparently, villagers in 2004 took a vote to see if they should change the name of the village. And they said no.
They didn't
want it changed. And what's really funny about this is loads of people linking what they consider to be rude names.
Well, I think this is really funny because I've seen these. I saw these earlier on today.
Yeah.
And I went on that Google Street View thing. And they all exist. There's not one of them that hasn't been made up. I'll tell you what, my browsing history looks a bit shoddy, though.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, but it's not. It's because it's like Back Passage in the City of London.
I know. Or Fine Bush Lane.
No, it was the Back Passage. A passage was where you walked. And it's been hijacked.
And Fine Bush Lane had a fine bush.
Yes.
Yes.
And there was
Slots Hole Lane. See, that's where all... What would that one be?
I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Dick Place in Edinburgh?
What?
Dick Place in Edinburgh.
You are so distorted, you sound like a medium wave radio.
I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've not done anything wrong.
Maybe not.
Is that all right now?
No, not really, but we'll get by. Well, Dick Place is obviously where Richard lived.
Absolutely. What about Penny-cum-quick Hill in Plymouth?
Yeah, well, that's right. She was late getting home.
That's right, and Coronation Street was on, and so they were all shouting out the window, "Penny, come quick!"
Yes, exactly. And
Butthole Road in Yorkshire.
Well, a butt is what you keep watering.
And it had a hole in it, so it was empty.
Butthole
so
Road.
So people remembered not to go there. Again, they said, don't go to Butthole Road, because there's no water.
Right, and
America's first.
No, I'll tell you what, and I used to live, seriously, near Pratt's Bottom. Which is a place in Kent, Pratt's bottom. Perfectly legitimate to say.
That's really like top and tail in bed, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, quick jingle. We'll be back in a second.
RTI, a place just like home.
So, right, we're off to look at the rubbish names in America.
Oh, these are terrible, man. You can't. What about French Lick in Indiana?
French Lick?
French Lick, Indiana. It was actually a place, right,
yeah.
Called Pluto Water, right, in Indiana.
What's wrong with that?
They used to make a laxative there,
yeah,
which had the slogan, when nature won't, Pluto will. And for some reason, it's called French Lick.
Right.
What about Climax in Minnesota?
Well, I can understand tightwad, because that means you're stingy.
Does that mean you're tight?
Yes. Well, that was a very English phrase, you tightwad.
It was, right? That's what I thought. Yeah, that's a strange word.
Yeah, I know. Climax, well, that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. The actual town motto is climax, more than just a feeling.
You could do that.
That's true. That's true.
No, Lee, you've got to do it like this. Climax, more than just a feeling.
I hate you. What about Gayville in South Dakota?
I'm having a gay day. Happy.
Yeah, and that's conveniently located in Yankton County.
Well, at least it's not Yington County.
Oh, no, what about this one? We can't do this one.
Why?
Do not bleep me. I'll tell you, start to bleep me now. This one is called Big Bone Lick State Park in Kentucky, and it's accessible by taking a ride on Beaver Road.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
It's a road where beavers used to cross probably from one river to another.
Yeah, that's right. And there was a bear, big bear.
Big bone, yeah.
Yeah, and it used to pick up the bones and it used to lick them.
What's wrong with that then?
Absolutely nothing. You're just disgusting trying to make something out of nothing. I don't get this. I really don't get this one.
What?
Cooter.
Cooter?
Yeah, why is that a bit bizarre?
Because there was a character called Cooter in Dukes of Hazzard, wasn't it?
Well, it actually says very specifically, no, not because of the Dukes of Hazzard character. Like you're supposed to be. Maybe this is something really disgusting in Missouri and we don't know, and people in Missouri are listening to us and hating us now.
Well, they probably do anyway. There's nothing
new on the phones going now.
I'll just ignore them. Of course, it's, yeah, because the time of day we're doing this programme, it's let's upset all the peasants before Easter, isn't it?
Yeah, let's ruin Coronation Street for them.
No. By the way, I can't believe this next story. They're going to spend £400,000, not dollars, pounds, yeah, on a project with a grant from the Thames Gateway programme to build a Hollywood-style sign spelling out the name of Basildon, yeah, in Essex.
That's right.
The Basildon District Council hopes the giant letters will promote the town as a good place to do business.
Yeah, but £400,000 is nearly £500,000.
Can I tell you...
What's Basildon got going for it?
Well, it's got one good thing going for it, the road out.
Well, fuck, I rest our case on that.
Right, boys and girls, we're going to be serious for a minute because we haven't got a lot of time to go. I am appalled... I'm shocked.
Oh, right. I know, yeah.
I'm shocked. And to be honest, I don't know if I want to keep my British passport anymore. I really don't.
Well, Eric, I am 100% behind you. And anything you want to say on this, this is England on its knees. On its knees, on its knees.
Knees. A grandmother, okay, has just been tagged. She's got the bit round her ankle. This is a grandmother. Yep. Find
66 years old.
Find £1,000 and put under curfew for selling a goldfish to a 14-year-old boy.
And remember, it was a setup.
Yes, we'll come to that.
She
next
was actually set up.
And you'd think it was an April Fool's joke, but it isn't, boys and girls. 66-year-old Joan Higgins was ordered to wear an electric tag for selling this goldfish in an undercover sting operation. The case was brought by trading standards officers under the Animal Welfare Act 2006, same government you got now,
mm-hmm.
which makes it illegal.
Well done, Gordon.
I don't normally do politics, but it's coming up inside me. It's welling, it's welling, which makes it illegal to sell domestic pets, including fish,
yep.
to children under the age of 16, unless accompanied by an adult. I can understand if it was an iguana. I can understand if it was a rabbit.
I can understand if it was a dog.
Yes, but not a goldfish. Apparently,
I don't think the fact that it's a goldfish has got that much to do with it, really.
Well, it has, because
it's the fact that they set her up.
Well, council officials received an unsubstantiated rumour. Yeah, right. That Joan, whose pet shop is in Sale in Greater Manchester, sold a gerbil to a 14-year-old girl with learning difficulties. Just a minute. Hello, Manchester. Calling Manchester. This week...
I used to live there.
There has been a story... There's been a story on the TV where a handicapped kiddie who was never, ever going to walk, according to doctors, is now walking because a duck went into his garden with a broken leg, had a splint on it, and started to hobble and walk again. The little child with very, very severe learning difficulties is emulating the duck and started to walk. Don't be stupid, Manchester.
No, Manchester, you are stupid.
So, yes. Anyway, get what happened next. You just can't write this. They staked...
Are you doing it? Yeah, go on, then.
They staked out the pet shop and sent... A six-foot-tall boy. That's nearly 2 metres, OK? Uh-huh. Six-foot-tall boy. A six-foot-tall 15-year-old looks like a 16-year-old for crud's. Ah, it's a setup. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves to send in a nearly 2-metre-tall guy on his 15th birthday to buy the goldfish just to set up a 66-year-old woman. Now,
that's right.
When Joan failed to ask him to prove his age, officers moved in and charged Joan with selling a fish to a person under 16.
I know.
Joan was also accused of failing to provide proper advice for the care and welfare of a goldfish. Feed it and keep it in water.
And give it a bit of food.
Yeah.
And talk to it.
And because of Gordon Brown's law, she had no option to plead guilty. Now, you'd think that the magistrates would be a bit sensible, wouldn't they? And say, go make us a cup of tea, Joan, and that's it, done. No. The stupid magistrates placed her under curfew. So she's under curfew, right? Between 7 at night and 6 in the morning. Made to wear a tag, the magistrate said to her, we could have sent you to jail, plus a £20,000 fine, or both. You arrogant people. Her son Mark, who helps her run the shop, has also been ordered to carry out 120 hours of unpaid community work. Can't you see what's going on here? It's nuts.
Unbelievable, Eric. It's absolutely unbelievable. Well, it isn't unbelievable in Britain anymore, you know.
Well, no, it's not. It's just normal.
I'll let you do the bicycle bell thing, because that's just as ridiculous.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, man.
Joan now can't go and babysit for her grandchildren, because she's not allowed out of the house.
That's right.
The law changing... Get this. The law that means that Joan is guilty was changed 4 years ago. Which includes the sale of goldfish. Now, when I was a kid, I used to love winning a goldfish at a fair. It was marvellous.
And dead by the time you got home.
Probably. And Joan, get this, has been licensed to sell pets for 28 years and is a member of the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals. It's the leading veterinary charity in the UK. She's hardly going to do it. Now, let's just really assume something real quick. Okay, now we don't condone this, do we, Lee?
Which, well, I don't condone anything.
Well, we definitely don't condone this. Let's assume...
No, this is just...
An example.
Let's assume
Lee and I went out shoplifting and we got caught.
We've never done.
No, we haven't. What would we get in terms of a fine for our first offence for shoplifting.
If we'd gone and raided Joan's shop, right?
Yeah.
I reckon we'd have got 80 quid.
And probably told not to be naughty again.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Joan has been fined and tagged. This is Great Britain. Has the UK lost it? Did you know that riding a bicycle without a bell carries a fine of £2,500 and possibly up to 2 years in jail?
Quite right, so.
I want to know one thing, and I'd love for you to find this out for me, Lee.
I'll have a go.
How much did the taxpayer have to pay out for this sting on the pet shop owned and run by a 66-year-old woman?
Well, I just did some very quick figures before, because I knew, obviously, this was coming up. Yeah. I did some very quick figures. It would cost around about 30 grand for the court case.
So,
and probably about another 30 grand to set up the sting, to do all the paperwork. So the minimum it's cost is probably 60,000, but it's probably more like 100,000.
So I guess.
Catch this woman.
£60,000 investment, £1,000 fine, is what is meant by the British government when it promised to be tough on crime and tough on the causes of crime.
And not bankrupters.
A goldfish.
And an old woman.
It just beggars belief, boys and girls. It just beggars belief. Anyway, we'll do a quick happy one for you as we go. We want to wish David Jones the best of luck. He's off to Johannesburg to raise money for St. Catherine's Hospice in Crawley. What's he going to be doing? Living with 40 snakes for nearly 4 months to get in the Guinness Book of Records and make loads of money. Apparently, he's also known as Mad. Yeah, I can kind of understand that.
And it's not word, though, does it?
No. Congratulations to Ricky Martin, who's told everybody he's gay. We knew anyway. It's funny how celebrities... Funny how celebs always seem to make some really brash statement when their careers are going down the toilet.
People are a bit more surprised if he'd have admitted he wasn't gay.
Well, exactly. That was Postcard from Pub Rat, boys and girls, from Lee and me. We'll bid you farewell on an Easter bank holiday, April Fool's weekendy stuffy. For me, in the beautiful Tatras Mountains, where sanity still prevails, it's goodbye. And over to Lee, where sanity doesn't even think about coming over the horizon. Say goodbye, Lee.
I have nothing to say other than thank you very much for listening and good night.
See, don't forget there's a general election coming up.
Absolutely.